Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title is, He Has a New Master. That means we had an old master before. The world thinks that they are free. The world thinks that they are free to choose whatever they want. But that is the deception of Satan. No one is free on this earth. The freedom that the world thinks they have does not exist. Just because we do not experience absolute freedom does not mean that we are not held accountable for our action. The reality of our existence from the very beginning is this. The moment you begin to exist in your mother's womb, realize and understand that you are already born into this world a slave. You may not like the concept of slavery, but just because you do not like it does not mean that you are not a slave. We are all born slaves. The reason is we are all born in sin. Romans chapter 5 made that very plain and clear. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so therefore, the moment you begin to exist in your mother's womb, you're already a sinner because of Adam. Adam was the only free man. So was his wife, Eve. When they existed thousands of years ago in the Garden of Eden, they were born without sin. They were created by God without sin. And so therefore, they are the only ones on earth who had genuine freedom to choose. And so God gave them a choice. You are not allowed to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The moment you do, you disobey me, you sin, and you will die. And they abused that freedom that God gave to them because they failed the test. The serpent deceived Eve. Eve, in turn, gave the fruit to Adam, and Adam ate. The moment Adam ate, chapter 5, verse 12, tells us that every human being from that point onwards will be born in sin. And so, therefore, you and I are born slaves. Who was our master? The master has a name. The name is sin. And this master will pay a wage to all his slaves. And that payment is described in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages, the payment that you serve this master, the wages of sin, your master, that was his name, is death. So the wages of this old master of every believer, his name is sin. And the wages, the payment he gives to you at the end of your life of serving him is death. The life can be pretty good. The life can be very comfortable. He promised you a very comfortable life. If you serve him well, if you do what he says, if you listen to his voice, and his voice is everywhere in the world, you can become very rich. Because this voice of sin tells us that if you bow down to Satan, he will give you a piece of this earth where you can be a ruler, where you can live in luxury, where you can enjoy the best food and the best this world can offer you. But then at the end of it, you will still die. Now this is the old master. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and your Savior, this is the voice of your master speaking to you. It is found in our education. It is found in our society. You work hard, you will get the reward. You work harder when you grow up as an adult. You're going to get your reward. You can begin as a very poor person in your family. But if you work hard, you're going to get money. And money will buy you good food, good properties, good life. Now this is the voice of sin. And it sounds pretty good. It sounds very real, because it is real. You will live a very good life. You can live in big mansions. You can eat all the good food that you can afford. You can dress in the best garment that your money could buy you. But it will not help you get rid of death, because it will not help you get rid of sin. And you know what sin is. The sin that we commit includes telling lies, include covetousness, the love of money, the love of this kind of rich life is in itself a sin. The word covetousness simply means a lover of money, lover of wealth, lover of the luxurious life, which Jesus Christ calls an abomination to God. In Luke chapter 16. And that is the face and the nature of this sin. And if you are truly born again in Christ, the Bible says, you now don't have to listen to the voice of sin anymore. You don't have to obey the voice of sin. You don't have to obey the voices of the world anymore, deceiving you that the good life, the life of success, is a life that is filled with the abundance of the possessions that you have. That was the voice of sin, which is a big fat deception. And that's what verse 12 says. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. You don't need to anymore. A Christian will not need to. This is the voice that once upon a time controlled your thinking, controlled your action, controlled your motive, controlled every part of your life. But that is no longer true in the life of a Christian, in the life of a truly born-again believer. And so, verse 13, neither you ye your lust surrender your bodies as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. You don't have to surrender it. That means your hands. You don't have to do the things of this master called sin anymore. Your feet, they don't have to go to those places where the voice of this master sin continues to coax you, urge you. Come, go to this place. Go to that place. Come, go to the casino. Come, go to the casino and it will make you richer. Go to this club. It can fulfill the lust of the flesh that continues to dominate and pull you toward. You don't have to listen. You don't have to go to these places anymore. That's what it means to be born again. It does not reign over you. You don't have to surrender your bodies, this instrument of yours, to this unrighteousness where you continue to do more sin. For sin shall not have dominion over you, verse 14, for you are not under the law but under grace. You are now saved. The law does not condemn you anymore. The law has no more ability to condemn you because you have been forgiven by Christ. All your sins have been washed by the blood of Christ when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. A person who is under the law means the person will continue to come under the condemnation of the law. The laws of God, the Ten Commandments in particular, will continue to convict and condemn him. So when you read him the Ten Commandments such as, you shall have no other gods, he has plenty. You shall not commit adultery, he continues to lust. You shall not steal, he continues to steal. You shall not bear false witness, he continues to tell lies. You cannot covet anymore, he continues to covet. So the law will continue to prick him and cut him to his heart, to his soul. That's what it means to be under the law. He feels condemned because of the law that continues to convict him. And he knows it. But the person who has accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, the Bible tells us in chapter 4, verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. God has forgiven him. He is no longer under the bondage of sin, and therefore the law cannot convict him anymore, because Jesus Christ had taken all the punishment and penalty that he had committed. This sinner had committed. Jesus Christ had taken the punishment that he deserved upon him. And so when he truly, sincerely, with all his heart, accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, where he cried to God at the moment of time when the gospel was shared to him, when he was told that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he became a man in order to die for you, because you are a man who is in sin, where sin is your master, sin is your Lord, and you are a slave, listening to the voice, and you have been yielding to this voice. And because of that, you have been a sinner all your life. And because of that, you have to be punished for your sin. And the punishment of your sin, when you die in your sin, is hell. And there is no way you can get yourself out of it unless someone get you out of it. And no man on earth can die for you, because everyone is a sinner himself and he has to die for his own sin. The father can't die for the son, no matter how much the father loves the son. The mother can't die for the daughter, no matter how much the mother loves the daughter, because the father and the mother, they are all sinners and they all have to die for their own sin. Until God the Father sent Jesus Christ, his only begotten son, to be born of a virgin so that he can be born perfect. So that he was not born like us with sin in us. And he was born perfect in the city called Bethlehem. The whole world celebrates his birth, which we call Christmas. No one can deny that. And so he grew up, he obeyed all the laws of God, and then he went to the cross silently, even though he was fully God and fully man. He could deliver himself, but he allowed man to crucify him. He allowed men to scourge him, to punish him. He took all the pain and all the humiliation because of his love for us, because of your sin and my sin. He took the punishment. He died so that you and I don't need to die. So when you believe Jesus Christ, when you cry to God and said, God, Jesus Christ took the punishment for me. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me with all my heart. He took the punishment. He took the penalty, which I know I deserve because of my sin. He took the punishment for me. And I've accepted what Jesus Christ has done for me. Please forgive me. Forgive me of all my sins. Because Jesus Christ had already taken the punishment. Don't punish me again. That's what it means to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. And the moment that happens, the moment you cry that cry to God with all your heart, God says, you know, I have accepted what my only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, has done for you as sufficient. And if you truly has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior with all your heart, unconditional surrender to Him, I will forgive you. And I have already shown my forgiveness by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. That was my stamp of approval, that what he has done for you is enough to take away all the sins that are in your life. The sins that you inherited from Adam, washed because of Christ. The sins that you committed in thought, in motive, in words, in action, all forgiven because of Jesus Christ. Everything. That's what it means. No longer under the law. Now you're under grace. Because you don't deserve what God has done for you in Christ. And that's why the Bible says if you are truly born again in Christ, you are no longer under the condemnation of the law, because Jesus Christ had taken away all the condemnation on your behalf, because he was punished for your sake. And that's what it means to be under grace. That is what salvation means. But you have to know that after salvation, there is a transformation in your life, which we call the evidence of salvation, which the Bible wants us to appreciate. Because God knows that we live in a world of great deception, and there is no greater deception than in the 21st century, where there are many brands of Christianity that are more false than true. And that's why God gave to us so many New Testament passages after passages revealing to us that if you are truly born again in Christ, there is a change in you. And this evening we are going to talk about another evidence of salvation, and that is new master. You now have to listen to a new voice. You cannot keep on listening to the old voice of sin. The old voice of sin will result in a life of sin, a life of transgression, a life of carnality, where all that you think about will be the things of the world, the things that are carnal, the things that are temporal. The things that are carnal and temporal would include all you think about. You're motivated when you go to school by what? By being number one in the whole nation. So that everybody will know that you are number one in the nation of Singapore, PSLE. You're motivated by number one in your own level. You're motivated number one in all that you do. These are the accolades of the world, and you're going to get it. You need to get your name splashed across the newspaper or at least on the internet, I was told nowadays. People will still find out who is the best number one student PSLE, number one student in O-level, number one student in A-level. And these are all the accolades of the world, and that used to be your motivation. And that is the driving force to help you excel. And you will get it. But that is the voice of sin, because so what if you're number one? There's so many number one in so many fields and they are all in hell. So you will get your time of being number one on earth. But what happens when you die in your sin as number one? You still end up in hell like the last person. And so what has happened? You have just been deceived by your master called sin, thinking that being by number one, I don't need to die. You will still die. And you will still end up in hell. And once you are in hell, you can't get out. There is a great chasm between hell and heaven that no man can bridge. No man can cross over. The moment you die, you will remain where you are, either in hell or in paradise, forever and ever and ever. The time to make a difference whether you end up in heaven or hell is right now. And therefore, you have to make sure of your salvation. And so if you say you are born again in Christ, if you are truly born again, you truly accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, then what Paul described in verse 17 must be your new position. Your new position in relation to you and your God. Chapter 6 talks about the positional relationship. Chapter 7 talks about the practical relationship. And we shall look at that, God willing, in a few weeks' time. Romans 7. The things that I would not want to do, I keep doing. The things that I know I should not do, I keep doing. That is the struggle. That is the practical aspect of a believer's life as evidence of salvation. But today, tonight, we're going to look at the positional aspect. And so the first position, the new position that he has as a slave with a new master, verse 17 says, know ye not. Sorry, verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. So the first thing to realize that a person has a new master is that he has a new heart. He has obeyed from the heart. Why did the Apostle Paul say obey from the heart? Why didn't he just simply say obey with our mouth? Because there are a lot of people who obey with their mouth who are not born again. Many of them have come into Calvary Pandan Church too. We have the basic Bible knowledge class, 20 lessons to screen and to help them appreciate and understand what the gospel really means, to help them. But they don't want to be helped. They pretend to be born again, and so when they pretend, we can't tell, because all we can tell would be what they say from their mouth. We can't tell whether a person has believed with his heart. And that's why the Bible here tells us, you better know that you have obeyed from your heart. You don't just obey from the mouth, you don't just obey externally. The only loser will be you. You are not deceiving any human being but yourself. Because we who are deceived by you, if I am truly born again in Christ, your deception is not going to affect my place in heaven. Your deception will affect your place in hell and in heaven. That is why you have to know that you have truly obeyed from your heart. Don't just obey with your lips. When you became a member of your church, the pastor simply asks you a lot of questions where we can only assess you based upon what you have confessed and believe with your mouth. And based upon what you believe with your mouth, we welcome you into the church family. And we baptize you because we heard what you say with your mouth, because you have demonstrated your belief with your mouth. But that is not the evidence of salvation. The evidence of salvation you would know because it involves your belief from the heart. And so the question is, have you believed, have you obeyed from the heart what God has said in scriptures? Have you truly accepted Jesus Christ with all your heart? Truly, with all your heart, unconditional surrender, crying to God, Lord, save me. I am a sinner, I'm undone, and I know that if I die in my sin, I know I deserve hell because of the many, many sins that I have committed against you. Have you really made this confession? Really that you are truly undone and really a sinner? Or you may not be a criminal. And there are many criminals who make better believers because they realize that they are real sinners. Because they not only committed sin, they also committed criminal crimes. And so when they truly accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, they know that they are terrible, terrible sinners. You and I live in a society that is couched in a lot of facade. We put on makeup, we dress in nice garments, we live in high society, giving ourselves this impression that we are not so bad. And then we start to compare ourselves with other human beings. And then therefore we think that we are better than other human beings because I'm more educated, I'm more cultured. You see, I go to these cultural activities, that cultural activities. I don't talk like that person is uncouth. And we have all these educational caste system that we have made for ourselves. And then we put ourselves all the way up there. And then we begin to walk around like a peacock, flaring up our colorful feathers, thinking that we have made it. We are somebody. Because I am rich, I have money, I am a somebody, and therefore when I accepted Christ as Lord and a Savior, I'm not that bad a sinner, and therefore you are not that great a Savior. There is no such gospel. Because that kind of belief is not from the heart. That kind of belief did not stem from the beginning, the starting point of poverty, beggarly, bankruptcy in spirit. We are all undone. We are all great sinners deserving death and hell. No difference whether you are educated or not educated, whether you are the best brain surgeon or whether you are the worst criminal. You die in your sin, you all end up in the same place called hell. No matter how many good deeds you have done, no matter how great a philanthropist you are, a philanthropist is a lover of man. You gave and donated billions of dollars for this orphanage, to build this home, to help so many poor people. You die in your sin, you end up in hell like everybody else. No difference. And that is why it is so important for us to truly have accepted Christ, obey the word of God from the heart. You have to know this. Otherwise, you're going to be in serious trouble. Otherwise, you are just playing Christianity. Otherwise, all you have is just a form, a facade, a shell. No different from the Pharisees, where Jesus Christ scolded them and rebuked them and called them whitewashed sepulchre. You look so good on the outside, like a whitewash, painted all white, has the appearance of holiness, but inside full of dead bones. That's what a sepulchre is, a place that is painted very white to have this semblance of holiness and purity, but inside dead carcasses, dead bones. And that was an exact description of the Pharisees. And if you think that you can deceive God, that all you have done is just believe with your mouth so that you can creep in and then do a lot of Christian activities like coming to church and taking Lord's Supper, giving of your tithe and offering, and perhaps even serving as a pastor, as an elder, and you think that by doing Christian activities, you can one day become a Christian, just like the Pharisees, thinking that we can do a lot of biblical activities, we will one day become a believer. God says, you all have only a facade of holiness, but there is no genuine internal true holiness because you do not evidence salvation in your life. You deceive yourself. Have you obeyed from the heart? If you are truly born again in Christ, you know in your own heart whether it is false or whether it is real. Make sure, dear friends. Verse 18 to verse 20, second evidence for tonight. If a person who has obeyed from the heart, the next will follow suit. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So the next step is servants of righteousness. Now, by the way, the word servant used throughout this whole passage is the word slave. That's why we use the word master, because it's a slave-master relationship. And there's nothing wrong with being a slave. Please understand. It has everything to do with who your master is. If you have a benevolent, wonderful, good master, to be a slave is the best thing in life. A slave is a person who listens to the voice of his master. You and I listen to voices all the time to guide you, to help you make decisions. It's either the voice of the world or your own voice, but these are all the voices of sin without Christ. But the moment you become a Christian, the voice of sin is no longer the voice that you will obey. Before salvation, you have been obeying the voice of sin, whether you like it or not. That is why your whole life before salvation has been characterized by sin. That is your past experience. If you're honest with yourself, you would admit that. Because that was my life, and I'm sure that was your life too. You thought you were smart. You thought you were clever. You thought you were in control of your life. But you were not. You can't control when you were born. You can't control the color of your skin. You can control so many things in your life. And yet you have been deceived into thinking that you are the captain of your own destiny. You never have been. You never will be. Realize that. Stop listening to the voice of sin. So anything that is sinful, if you are born again, you will not want to do it. You won't want to make excuse for it. You want to stay far, far away from it. You don't even want to go near it. That's what it means. Being then made free from sin. Free means you have been delivered. The voice of sin doesn't have to control you anymore. You don't have to surrender anymore. So the voice of sin tells you, come on, take another cigarette. Come on, take another sip from the alcohol. Come on, just take another gamble. Just pull another time. Go to the casino. Just pull one more time. You might make it this time. You might get your million this time. The voice of sin will continue to whisper and whisper and whisper. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, they will continue to challenge you. But you don't have to listen. You now have the strength not to listen, because now there is a new voice that you will listen to. Servants of righteousness you have become. You see that? Doesn't mean that you stop being a slave. You have a new master now. The master's new name is called righteousness. You will now only do what is right. To listen to the voice of sin means you will always do what is wrong. You will do what is selfish. You will do what is my heart's desire. But the voice of righteousness tells you, I want to do what is right all the time. I want to do what is God's desire. No more any man's desire. No more what I want. It is now only what God wants, because everything that God wants in the Bible is righteous. And so when God tells me, do not do this thing, I will not do it because this is righteous. I will not go to these places because this is the right thing to do. That's what it means. Now you want to do everything that is right, because all your sins have been forgiven. Now you stand before God as a righteous person, and therefore you will only want to listen to the voice of righteousness. Whatever the voice is that is right, I will do. Now, where do you hear and find the voice of righteousness? The Bible. Be careful of this sin, deadly sin called situational ethics, where you play God. That has been the voice of sin in the past, where you try to make decisions based upon what you think may or may not happen in the immediate future. I better not tell this to my very sick auntie, that the doctor just told me that she has only 3 more months to live. If I were to tell her, she will not be able to take it, so you think, because I know her very well, so you say. And therefore, if she were to ask me, what exactly did the doctor tell you concerning my illness? How many months or years do I have on this earth? You don't want to tell the truth. You play God. You practice situational ethics. I better don't tell. And so you lie. Oh, the doctor didn't tell me. He did. You have just played God. Do what is right. Tell the truth and leave the outcome and the consequence to God, because now you have a new master, and the name of the new master is righteousness. You will always do what is right according to the Bible, regardless of the consequence. You will do what is right. What was the right thing for David to do after he repented of his sin against God with Bathsheba? The right thing to do was to confess, and he confessed. Was he thinking about his name? Was he thinking about his face? Nathan, please help me cover it up. Don't put it in the Bible. Please help me cover it up. He was not thinking about his own face anymore. He understood that he has damaged the image of Jesus Christ by his adulterous relationship, and he was prepared to do anything to repair the image of Jesus Christ that he had damaged because of his adulterous relationship. Because the whole nation knew David as the man after God's own heart, as a Christian. How could a man after God's own heart commit adultery? How could he do that? And the only way that he can save the image of Jesus Christ is to let the whole nation understand, I have repented, and he penned Psalm 51. To let them know, yes, I have sinned, but I also have repented. And this is my confession for the whole world and for the whole nation to realize and understand. He was no longer thinking of his saving face. Sometimes it is very, very sad. And people confess their sin, the next breath they ask, can you help me cover up? Can you help me keep it private? Can you please don't embarrass me? Don't you know that you have damaged the image of Jesus Christ because you call yourself a Christian and then you committed transgression? You must do what is right, and what is right is to save back and to repair the damage that you have done to the image of Christ by your transgression. You should no longer think about yourself anymore. You should not think about Christ. Do what is right. Because now this is the voice of your new master. Do what is right. And what is the right thing to do? Pray without ceasing. Keep on studying the Bible. Because the more you know the Bible, the more you know what right is. Right cannot be defined by yourself. Right is not a subjective definition that to you it is right, but to the other person it is wrong. Right means right according to the Bible. Not to be defined by the world. The world has no absolutes. The world doesn't know what is right and what is wrong. It's evidence all around us. 60, 70 years ago, most countries would consider homosexuality as a sin, as a wrong thing, as a criminal act. Today, the world has changed its tune. Today, it is a right thing to do. Anyone who preach against it will be challenged, will be castigated, will face the wrath of man. What is right, what is wrong? As far as the world is concerned, everything is relative. But not for the believer. We have the Bible, which God will determine and dictate what is right and what is wrong. And since we are God's children, we have accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, the Bible will be your singular and only guide. And you will obey the Word of God and let the Bible be the only basis for all your decisions making. Do what is according to Scripture and leave the consequence to God, and don't play God by practicing situational ethics. Because the new voice, righteousness, must be the only voice that you will listen to now. No other voice. Evidence of salvation. Do you have in your heart a desire to want to do what is right? All the time. What is the right thing to do as a wife to my husband? The Bible says, wives, submit to your own husband as unto the Lord, and so you submit. Whatever voices you heard in the past concerning woman's right, woman's this, woman's that, you forgive. You forget. You submit now. In the past, so hard. Yes, it's impossible, not just hard. But now in Christ, all things are possible. Because the Spirit of God lives in every believer. You have the love of Christ in you now to teach you how to love and submit to your own husband as unto the Lord in everything. You will no longer challenge his leadership. You will submit to him. But what if he is wrong? You still submit if he makes a wrong decision. We are not talking about moral. We are not talking about criminal acts. We are not talking about him asking you to steal something. We are not talking about asking you to cheat and break the law. We are talking about making wrong decisions. And sometimes they do make wrong decisions. Maybe some bad investment that may cause you to lose some money. Maybe some bad decisions concerning which school to send your son, your daughter to. But you still submit. He is the head. And husbands, what is the right thing to do? You love your wife as Christ loved the church, and you will never take advantage of their submission. You love them whereby you think of their spiritual well-being. You care for them. You do whatever it takes to help them become a better Christian. Because that is what love is for your wife means. To pray for them, to encourage them, to study God's word, to be a godly wife and a godly mother to your children. That's what love is. And so you do what is right. And you do whatever it takes. You be faithful. You keep your eyes only for your wife and nobody else. you be faithful. That is the right thing to do. Children, honor your parents. That's the right thing to do. But they are not Christian. The Bible did not say honor Christian parents. The Bible says honor your parents in the Lord. And you honor. You don't talk bad behind their backs. You don't be rude to them. You don't slander them. You don't think ill of them. You respect them and you honor them. Because God chose your parents for you. And He makes no mistake. And for you to dishonor them means you challenge God's choice for you. That's the right thing to do. You honor them always. And these are just some examples in practical terms to help us understand what it means to listen to the new master's voice called righteousness, to do what is right at all costs. What is the right thing to do in school? Be a godly student. What is the right thing to do in your workplace? Be a godly employer, be a godly employee, to point people to Christ. Before you join the company, they never had a Christian. Salvation was so far away from them because there was no believer in the company. But the moment you arrive, salvation is so near them because now they can see the life of a citizen of God. They can see the life of holiness and righteousness and the child of God. And salvation is only a prayer away because of your presence. And you understood this very, very well in your heart. And you must now live a life of holiness because that is the third evidence. Because with righteousness, it will bring forth holiness. Look at verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. And so Paul says, I'm trying to reason with you and using some worldly arguments to help you appreciate and understand. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness in the past, as well as to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now you must surrender your members servants slaves to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were servants, slaves of sin, where sin was your master, you were free from righteousness. You can't even do anything righteous. When sin was your master, everything you and I did was covered and soaked in sin, stained by sin. There's nothing good in any one of us. And that's why God says, everything that you do, as far as God is concerned, all the good that you think you have done, God says they are as dirty as a filthy rag. All your righteousness based upon your so-called good works, as far as God is concerned, filthy rags. Never, never close, not even good enough to even see the kingdom of God. Don't talk about entering into the kingdom of heaven. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? That is sin. Don't do them anymore. For the end of those things is death. It brings about death. But now you have been made free from sin. Sin is no longer your master. Don't listen. Don't yield to it. And you have become servants of God, slaves to God. That's why you must do all things that are right. This is your new master, servants of righteousness, servants of God. Same word, slaves. Ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. So, servants to righteousness that will bring about holy living. And holy living, in turns, at the end of it, everlasting life. Evidence of salvation. A person who is truly born again in Christ will want to do what is right. And when he continues to do what is right, please understand, it does not equal perfection in life, sinless perfection. What is the right thing to do when I have sinned? Apologize, repent. That's what it means, to do what is right. Do not equate righteousness with perfection without sin. You will still sin, but you know what is the right thing to do. The right thing to do is to forgive. If you have done wrong, the right thing to do is to go to that person and ask for forgiveness. What is the right thing to do when somebody hurts you and asks you for forgiveness? You forgive. The right thing to do. And that in turn will result in you living a life of holiness. And so what are the three evidence of salvation that we see here? You have obeyed from the heart and you know that. You will now have a new master called righteousness whose voice you'll be listening to. And what will be the outcome of the life that you live? Holiness. Where you will get rid of sin. That's what holy life is. Holy life is a life where the moment you know you have sinned, you get rid of it. One of the most difficult things in life as a believer is to learn to forgive. Why do you think in the Lord's Prayer, there are so many items in the Lord's Prayer, right? From hallowed be thy name, to thy kingdom come, to give us this day our daily bread. The item that God had to repeat again, Jesus Christ had to repeat after he taught them the Lord's Prayer, after he said, Amen. Do you know which aspect Jesus Christ had to re-emphasize? forgiveness. Forgive those who trespass against you, just as your Heavenly Father has forgiven you. Forgiveness is one of the most beautiful and wonderful experience that every sinner could ever, ever receive from God. Which means that with this experience in your heart, you must forgive everyone who sinned against you all the time, without end. And that will keep you living a life of holiness. Holiness means you do not allow any known sin in your heart, in your life, to remain. Holiness is to get rid of all the sin. Sin of the mind, you don't sin in the mind. How to keep your mind away from sin, from thinking, pornography, or all the evil, you recite scripture. And that's why we have this series. Every time you come, you memorize scripture, because the mind can only think of one thing at a time. And when your mind is reciting scriptures, blessed is the man. The moment you keep on reciting scriptures, blessed is the man that walketh not according to the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. When your mind is reciting God's word, for his delight is in the law of the Lord, you won't have thought for anything else. And that will protect your mind. The moment your mind wanders into sin, you recite scriptures. You pray and you think of things that are holy, pure, good, and righteous. That will help you keep your mind pure and clean. Stay away from computer games that will pollute your mind. Stay away from computer games that are violent, that will bring out the evil, the nature of aggression in you. Stay away from them. Otherwise, you are retarding your own spiritual growth. On the one hand, you want to think of godly things, and then you tarnish and dirty your mind with all these violence. It will retard your growth. And then concerning your lips, what to say, what to write, think and pray before you open your mouth. Think and pray before you lift up your hand to do anything. Think and determine in your heart never to defile yourself so that you will stay away from dangerous, sinful places. You don't go to clubs. You don't go to places like casino unless you're the fireman and the casino is being burned. Otherwise, you stay away. There's nothing good for you there. But go free food. You don't need free food. You want free food? We can give you free food. You don't have to go to casino to eat free food if you are not a Singaporean. Singaporean, you've got to pay $100, I was told. You don't go to these places. These places are characterized and designed for certain sin, for certain sinners. You don't have to succumb to the voice of sin anymore. It used to pull you. It's called addiction. They are all very addictive. Gambling is addictive. Smoking is addictive. Drinking is addictive. That is the nature of the design of these terrible vices. To pull you, to ruin your life, your witness for Christ. You don't have to listen to these voices anymore. You have the strength given to you by Christ and by the indwelling of the Spirit of God to break it for good. Break it for good. And don't you dare make excuses. The moment you begin to make excuses, the pressures of work, because of this, because of that, the moment you make excuses, you have no genuine sincerity to give up. Don't make excuses. Don't listen to the voice of sin. It is the voice of sin when you begin to make excuses to justify your weakness and your transgression. That's why God says you have been made free from sin. Are you free from sin? Yes, only in Christ. Don't listen to it. Don't have to do it. Don't toy with it. You have now become servants of God, slaves to God. You have now the fruit of holiness, and that's what your life is. And at the end of it, guarantee. God says guarantee eternal life. And that's how we know this is the true evidence of salvation. Holiness, righteousness, obedience from the heart. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to us, O Lord, out of thy holy word, so that we may make sure of our salvation in Christ Jesus. When we first accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, help us that it has truly been an obedience from the heart, not only from the lips, but more so from the heart, that we are truly sons and daughters of the Most High God. And this is evidenced by our love for righteousness and a life of holiness where we desire to get rid of sin in our lives. We pray, O Lord, that there may be some in our midst who have yet to accept Christ as Lord and as Savior. May thy Holy Spirit bring conviction and cause this person to realize the danger that he is in. For if he were to die in his sin right now, he will end up in hell, a place of great torment and pain. O Lord, may thou be merciful to speak to this person and bring conviction and cause this person to truly know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, so that he will no longer have sin as his master, for the wages of sin is indeed death, but the gift of God is life eternal. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.